As you relax your body and mind, extend your being to recognize yourself as the totality of your experience. You are the conscious being, and all experience that you have is in consciousness. The experience of the sounds outside, the warmth of the air, the sensations of the physical body, the breath, all of the thoughts and feelings in your mind. Recognize the reality that all experience is in consciousness. The consciousness that you are. Your self-identity is only with consciousness. You may take consciousness to be in the form of your body, but your self-identity, your self-experience, is only consciousness. So now recognize all experience, not just the experience of the physical body, but all experience is in consciousness. Imagine your body to be the totality of your experience, the totality of your experience, which includes the physical body. The physical body, like a cell in the total body of your experience. Physical body, like a part of the whole. And you are the self of that whole. You are the conscious being of the whole. all experience. Takes place in silent shanti, the wholeness. Of my being. The silent, changeless nature. Of my being, of myself. First verse of Gita Chanam. Om Paratvaya Pratibhotitam Bhagavatam Narayanena Swayam Vyasena Kratitam Purana Munina Madhye Mahabharatam Advaitam Ritavarshinim Bhagavatim Ashtadashadhyayinim Ambatvam anusantatami Bhagavad-gita bhavadveshinim. We're in verse 41, chapter 2. Vyavasayatmika buddhihi Ekeha kurunandana Bahushakahinantascha Buddhiyo vyavasayatmika buddhihi eka iha kurunandana bahushakaha hi anantaha cha buddhiyah avyavasayinam. He Kurunandana, the one who's a joy to the Kuru family. Here, in reference to moksha, in reference to the karma yoga, to the moksha, to the sankhya in karma yoga. So here in reference to this, the buddhi, the knowledge, the understanding is eka. It's only one. Buddhi is eka. Buddhi is... Oh, here goes this thing again. Maybe it's because of pushing up against that. Yeah, okay. Buddhi is feminine. It's feminine, short e. So the buddhi, the intellect, or the knowledge, the understanding, all these words are for buddhi. Knowledge, clarity, understanding, is eka, feminine, from one. So buddhi eka. And it's vyavasayatmika. It's nature, that atmika at the end of the, it's a compound at the end of the vyavasaya, vyavasayatmika. That atmika means its nature is vyavasaya. Vyavasaya means nishchaya, means the understanding is clear. Clear means it's free from doubt. When we say nishchaya, it means that you know it. You don't believe it. There's a clarity of knowledge there. There's a clear understanding. And so when it comes to moksha, karma yoga, sankhya yoga, the understanding is one. It's singular. And because it's singular, you can be very, very clear about it. Also, just to understand, for a person who has this clarity of knowledge around the one who desires moksha, let's say this, the viveki, the one who desires liberation, who's a seeker of liberation, the one who has the viveka, the one who has what we call this sadhana chatushtya, which makes a person an adhikari. Adhikari means qualified student. Qualified student is one who has the sadhana chatushtya. Means they have viveka. The sadhana chatushtya means chatushtya, this group of four sadhanas. Group of four qualifications that make a person an adhikari, one qualified for this knowledge. So that's called the sadhana chatushtya. The sadhana chatushtya is comprised of the viveka, the primary, for a person to be a mumukshu, desirous of this knowledge, that viveka is essential. The viveka means for a mumukshu, not for a jnani. For a jnani, the viveka is complete. But for a mumukshu, the viveka is that every experience that I have is bound by time. And that means every karma that I do is time bound, and the result of every karma is time bound. And because of that, When I understand that, I gain, with that understanding, I gain vairagya. Vairagya means I gain a dispassion in the sense that I can no longer believe that these pursuits will result in what I'm actually seeking. Right? It's not that it's not about throwing out all karmas. That's not the point. I can know that a given action will give me a given result. That, we don't lose that. But what you do lose is this notion that the performance of this karma, which will bring about the attainment of this result, will give me the lasting happiness or wholeness or fullness, sense of completeness that I seek. That's what causes the vairagya. The vairagya is not toward gaining the result of an action. Right? It's not toward that. It's toward believing, it's toward the notion that gaining the result of that action will give me what I am really seeking. That's where the vairagya comes in. This is sometimes not understood because we'll think that I should have toward all of my actions, toward all of the karmas, toward all my prayers, toward all of my rituals, toward all of the things that I do, all of the things that I desire, that we should have, you know, kind of a negative disdain for them all. It isn't about that. That's not the problem. The problem is this. It's the desire template. I want this so that I can be happy. That's the part that's a problem. That I want this, or that I need to do this, or that I want to accomplish this or that. Those things aren't a problem. Even so, that I want this is not the problem. That I want this so that I can be happy is the problem. And the viveki, the one who has discrimination, is the one who has recognized that the I want this so that I can be happy, that template doesn't work. Your basic template is I want to be happy, and you've stuck the this in the middle of it. Right? I want to be happy, but the template is I want this so that I can be happy, and so this will give me the happiness that I want. And that's what the viveki recognizes. They know I want to be happy, and they recognize that this, which stands for every pursuit in the universe, whatever that is, if it's something that is bound by time, it is not going to solve the problem. That's what the viveki realizes. And so that's where the vairagya comes in, because if I realize I really want to be happy, and so let me do this, this, and this, and then all of a sudden I realize, but this, this, and this won't give me the happiness that I'm seeking, then I gain a vairagya for these things. Right? Just like this happens to us in the world all the time. You think you really want this thing, and this will make you so happy, and you go after it and go after it, and eventually maybe you even get it, you know, and then you have it for a while, and then it no longer makes you happy, and so you gain vairagya toward it. This doesn't do it anymore. So now you have vairagya. So we're experiencing this all of the time, but we're experiencing it all the time in the realm of ignorance. I want this so that I will be happy, and then you realize, oh, this doesn't make me happy, but that's because I need to have this instead. Right? At some point you recognize. Can you stop them? Thanks. Sometimes you recognize that this is not going to do that for you. Okay? So that's where the viveka and the vairagya come in. You have to understand it's not about it's not a dislike of the object. It's a misinterpretation. It's the recognition that I have misinterpreted what that object is going to be able to give me. Okay? So here, for the mumukshu, the adhikari, the one who has recognized this, right? The pursuit that that person has, the mumukshu, is single-pointed because it now cannot be toward one of these infinite number of objects in the world. And it's the same for you, and for you, and for you, and for you, and for every mumukshu. Because to become a mumukshu, really, the recognition is going to be the same. If that isn't the recognition, you're not a mumukshu. It's as simple. You're not a mumukshu because for you, there's still a solution. Right? There's still a solution. This doesn't work and this doesn't work and this doesn't work, but you know what? I think this would work. Right? Or, this wouldn't work either, but if only I could go to heaven, to Swargaloka. You know, Shankara's going to deal, Krishna will deal with that in the next verses. Maybe if I could just go to Swargaloka, you know? And then that would work. I'd get to stay there for a really long time, you know, and I'd get to have a lot of joy and happiness. And so maybe that would work for me. This is still the same problem. Swarga also is time-bound. Swarga also is a pursuit. Swarga also, Swamiji will joke about this Swarga Loka. You get to be with Krishna, you get to be with the Lord. But you're, this is how he jokes. You really want to be with the Lord, you want to be with Krishna. And so you want to go to Swarga Loka so you can be in his presence and just bask in the presence of the Lord. But there's 50,000 people there in the stadium. Imagine that, because you won't be the only one there with Krishna. You won't be the only one there with the Lord. And so there's 50,000 people and there's the Lord, you know, a mile away. So you have your binoculars, you know. When we actually do this, you have your binoculars, right? And you get to see the Lord from some distance. But there's other people that are in the front row. And there's other people that are on the same platform. And so even in Swargaloka, you know, even in Swargaloka, anyway, this is all a joke. Yeah. Earlier on in the, for those who are coming to the Mundaka Upanishad, early on there was the verse, you know, Karma Chitan, that very, very famous verse. The mumukshu is the one who has recognized that the results of all karma, all karma, all ritual, all action, you know, all pursuit is time-bound. That means that the result of every action will come to an end. Every karmapala, positive and negative, will come to an end. And so therefore, there's no security in that. Every karmapala, every action is bound by change. And so because of that, there's no security. So when a mumukshu has recognized this, right, then the samsara, the universe, is not their pursuit. Because everything in the universe is subject to this same problem. Right? And so because of that, their pursuit, what they're looking for, is not within duality. If it's within duality, the pursuit is bound by change. So that's the samsara. I want this so I can be happy. And so now the pursuit for a mumukshu is not within duality. The pursuit is for jnanam, for recognition of the truth of my being. That's what it is. Whether for the karma yogi or for the buddhi. For the karma yogi, or the one who's seeking knowledge, the sannyasi. Both are seeking knowledge, right? One is living a renunciate life. One is living the life of a householder, a life in the world. But in either case, whether they're a sannyasi or a karma yogi, both are only seeking one thing. And that is, they're seeking that one thing which is one. Okay? They're seeking the one thing which is one. The one thing which is one is my own being. Okay? And so in that, there's no division. So here he says, Devasayatmika buddhihi eka iha kurunandana bahushakaha hi anantaha buddhiyaha. Buddhiyaha, nominative plural. The conclusions or the pursuits or the understandings of the one who is avyavasayayinam, for those people who don't have this clarity of thought, the ones who are not vivekis, okay, for those who are not vivekis, then for them, Bahushaka has many, many branches. Anantaha means limitless. Their conclusions, their pursuits are limitless and many and varied. Just think about it. For a person who is a samsari, for a person who hasn't recognized the problem, then that person is in the situation, which is everybody's situation, until they become an adhikari, a mumukshu. Their situation is this. If I do this, I would become happy. But then I should do this to become happy, or should I do this to become happy? Or will this set of things make me whole? As long as you are within samsara, so seeking for your well-being within the creation, there is no limit. There's no limit to the paths that you can take. Right? Because there's an infinite number of goals. There's an infinite number of possibilities. And so which one of these things is going to work out for you? Which one of these things will actually make you happy? Which combination? Until you figure this out, this is what you're dealing with. Right? What combination of things? What combination of, you know, attitudes and pursuits? Attitudes, pursuits, rituals, prayers. What combination of things will result in my well-being? But remember, for that person, the one who's not a mumukshu, that buddhi, that recognition, that no matter what the pursuit is, the pursuit will give a limited result. Now look, it even goes this far. No matter what dharmic behavior I practice, the result of that dharmic behavior will have a result, but it's not a limitless result. Right? Otherwise, you can do a dharma, do a dharmic behavior, and the problem is over. Right? Because you've done the dharmic behavior, and so now you have a limitless result. That's not the situation. Dharma has to be a continued practice. If you let the dharma go, then the results of the dharma also go. Each result, you know, each activity, each action gives a limited result. Dharma, if I make that my habit, to the degree that it's my habit, I'll have a greater degree of shanti than a person who doesn't. Because the more that I practice dharma, to my understanding of dharma, which is also complex, you know, but the more that I practice dharma in the world, the more that I'm in harmony with the world, but I have to maintain that. Right? So I become a maintenance person, maintenance man of dharma, or the cleaning lady, maintenance person of dharma. Right? But it's also so true with any, say I do a charity. I give. This is very interesting. Say if you get in the habit of tithing or of giving, which in India there's a great value for that. You know, we have a little value for it in this country. If you go to church, you should tithe. If you go to the temple, you should tithe. We do have that. But in India, it's an important value, giving. Say 1 year you give your donation to your charity or to your organization. Say 1 year you give them $1,000. Give them $10,000. Let's make it bigger. 1 year you give them $10,000. Everybody's happy. The next year, okay, the next year you don't give anything. And then they'll think, well, that's all right. You gave $10,000 last year.
Yeah.
The next year again, she doesn't give anything. So then the people are starting to worry, well, I guess she's not going to give us anything anymore. And then in your mind, you're thinking, I'm not giving anything. I'm not giving anything. Yeah. Well, the point I'm making is that the punya runs out. The punya runs out, you know. It's something that's ongoing. It's an ongoing giving. It's an ongoing goodness. It's something that needs to be maintained. And that's all about attitude. If you have the proper attitude, you have to keep having the proper attitude. Right? You have to, say you have like this. I have the proper attitude in this situation. I'm blessed by that. But in this situation, I don't have that proper attitude. So it's not having the proper attitude in one situation and not in the other situation. Because if you don't have it in the other situation, then that particular branch isn't blessing you. It's creating dukkha, right? So now, say if you take it just into the physical world, into the fulfillment of your desires, that's also a huge problem. Because if you fulfill a desire, the problem with that is that you have to keep desiring it. And that doesn't work. You can fulfill the desire, but then what happens is that you don't desire it anymore. And then you have that object, and now but you have another desire. You've got that object, but another desire. So this becomes very, very complicated. You know, a person is working all the time to try to figure out the right mix of things. My proper attitude, my dharmic behavior, my fulfillment of the desires, try to get myself into a mix of things where I can relax and be happy. And what happens is that it continually doesn't work. It continually doesn't work. It works only for moments. Moments of peace that are continually morphing into disappointment. And so a person goes on lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime after lifetime, beginningless lifetime, so we've been around for a long time. And at some point it dawns. This doesn't work. Is there any way out of this? Because it doesn't work. That is a huge realization. But until that realization comes, you are bound here to trying to find a way to make it work. Because as a human being, you have the innate pursuit, the natural, beginningless pursuit that all human beings, all animals, all beings have, is to be happy, to be whole, to be complete. Shankara in his Adyasa Bhasha, I've said this before, but it's such so profound. He says, even the animals have this desire to be happy. They're all seeking happiness, and they're all running away from pain. All living creatures, even the plants, from studies that they've done. The plants are, you know, they go toward relaxation, toward peace, and then they go away from pain. We all do it. Right? And so now, unless we've recognized the problem that this world is not going to solve that for us, unless we've recognized that, how are we going to be solving it? We're going to be solving it by trying to manipulate the world. Mm-hmm. It's only when you recognize that the world cannot give me that, right, that you become a mumukshu. Because it's, when you're a mumukshu, it means the one who desires liberation. When we say that, what we mean is you have recognized that you can't solve the problem. Right? That's why you turn to Ishvara. You know, you probably remember for yourself where you kind of throw up your hands and you say to the Lord, please, if there is any way off this, if there is any way out of this, please, please save me. And that's a very real prayer. It's not an intellectual prayer. It's a prayer that comes from that recognition. Right? And so here, that's why he says this, Vyavasayatmika Buddhi. For the mumukshu, this buddhi, this understanding toward moksha, it is very clear. There's no doubt about it. It's not a belief. It's a recognition. Right? But for the one who doesn't have this understanding, for the multitude, for all of the people that don't have this understanding, then there's no vyavasayatmika buddhi. It's the opposite, in fact. Your mind is split in many, many, many directions. Bahu shaka. Shaka means a branch. Bahu means many. Ananta. Endless. Your mind is split off into endless branches, right? Trying to come to, trying to solve the problem. So then he goes, Yamimam pushpitam bacham, pravadantya vipaschitaha, veda vadarata parta, nanyat asti tivadinaha. Let's do these two together. Why not together? Kamat manat swarga paraha. Janma karma phala pradam. Kriya vishesha bahulam. Bhogaishwarya gatim prati.
Oh, my verse is, one was on one page, and then you have to flip it over to get to number 43.
Huh? I think on yours, the two verses are together, and on mine, actually, my Basha goes to both, but it's nice to read these two together.
Yeah, well.
You'll be okay.
I was confused for a while.
You'll be all right. Okay. Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadanti avipaschitaha veda vada rataha parta na anyat asti iti vadinaha kama atmanaha swarga paraha janma karma phala pradam kriya vishesha bahulam boga aishwarya gatim prati boga aishwarya gatim prati. Okay. He says, at the end of the first line, avipaschitaha. The avipaschit, nama to plural, from avipaschit. The avipaschits are the ones who don't have viveka. The ones who are avivekis. They don't have this clarity of thinking. They don't have this discrimination. So avivekis. The avivekis, the ones who are not clear here, the ones who don't know, who have not figured this out, pravadanti, they speak well, that pra gives some emphasis, they speak pushpitam vacham, flowery words. Pushpam is a flower. Pushpita vacha, flowery words. Okay. Yam imam, which flowery words? Yam means which, feminine, imam, feminine, and all in the accusative singular. So, which these? We'll see how these two words, the yam and imam, which and these, which and these, how that goes. These, those who have the aviveka, they speak these flowery words. Who are these avipaschitaha? Vedavada rataha. They are those people who are reveling in the words of the Veda. The words of the Veda mean the Karmakanda, the first portion of the Veda. Mm-hmm. What they believe, what these people believe, is they believe in the Vedas, they believe in karma. Right? If only I do these rituals, I will get these results. If I do these actions, I will get these results. And so they're committed to the first portion of the Vedas. And so such people, committed to the words of the Vedas, they vadinaha. These people, they argue. They argue this. Na anyat asti. There isn't anything else. Anyat is... Na anyat asti. There's nothing else. Other than this. And so for them, their reality is only in... In the next verse, we'll see Trigunya, the two verses from now. Their reality is only this manifest creation. And the Vedas tell me, the first portion of the Vedas, right, the Karmakanda tells me how to be in this world so that I can achieve happiness and I can achieve Swarga. Swarga Loka is the highest I can go. And if I do the proper rituals and behave in the proper way and practice Dharma and do good acts, I will be able to eventually get to Swarga. And that's the highest that the universe has to give me. There is nothing more than that. Not yet. Asti, nothing more. Okay? And so speaking flowery words, believing and arguing that there is nothing else, Kamatmanaha, these people who are full of desire, right? For them, their nature, they are full of desire. They are ones whose nature, who are full of desire, Kamatmanaha. They are Swarga Paraha. For them, the highest goal is Swarga, is heaven. Right? So being full of desire, Kamatmanaha, Swarga Paraha, then, Janma Karma Palapradam. Those Pushpitam Vacham, those flowery words, right? I'll just go through all of these and then put it together so that for the Sanskrit people you can see how this works as a sentence. Janma, birth, Karma Pala, the fruits of action, Pradam, those which give Pradam, okay? The fruits of action, their karma pala, of a birth. Means better birth, right? All of the words of the Vedas, all of these flowery words, right? Which will give you a better birth next time. It will result in a birth. Your karma pala, we're talking about good karma, right? Well, they will result in a birth. Kriya Vishesha Bahulam. They are these flowery words that are in the first part of the Vedas. They are full of many particular kriyas, karmas. Kriya means karma. Vishesha means particular karmas. And there are bahula, there's many of them. So the Vedas, the flower, all of these words of the Vedas, they contain many, many particular karmas. If you do this ritual, you can have good health. If you do this ritual, you can have the birth of a son. If you do this ritual, you can get so much wealth. If you do this ritual, the rains will come. If you do this series of rituals, you will get to Swarga Loka. If you do, and that's in the ritual world, that's the Vedas, okay? If you do these actions, you will achieve these results. Okay? So very particular. So the first part of the Vedas is full of very particular actions, many, 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 many of them. Why? Because Bahusha Kaha. Your pursuits are many and varied. Somebody might want a child. Another person doesn't want a child at all. They want wealth. They want money. Another person wants many, many lands. Another person wants medha shakti. They want a tremendous memory. Right? So they want whatever they think is going to bless them and make them happy. So the Vedas are full of rituals that can be done to give you these things that you believe will make you happy. So the Vedas goes along with all of this. The first part of the Vedas, where the idea is, as long as you're a samsari and you believe that having this or that or this or that will make you happy, here's how to get it. Here's what you can do to get those things. So this is what you want, and so here's a way to get it. That's the first part of the Vedas. Now, that's fine. That's fine as long as the ones who are teaching that are not telling you at the same time, this is all there is. But say this is what you believe. This is all there is. This is all there is. And so that becomes, then, that becomes a problem. So he says, these people, full of desire, their highest goal being swarga, they are speaking, I have to go back to the first verse, these people who have no viveka, they are saying all of these flowery words, these people who are reveling in the first section of the Vedas, the Vedavada Rataha, these people, they are saying all of these flowery words. Flowery words are in the accusative singular. Now, if you go to the next page, all of these are accusative singulars. Flowery words, which are giving you the karma pullas, such as a better birth, janma. These flowery words are giving you many particular karmas, which are boga aishwarya gatim prati, which go toward, which point to, which lead to, right? All these flowery words and all these particular karmas, the flowery words full of particular karmas, which lead to boga and aishwarya, pleasure and power. Boga are sense pleasures, enjoyments. Aishwarya is power. It's so interesting, you know. It's never been different.
What?
You know, samsara has been samsara forever. We go after pleasure and power. You know, you seek your enjoyments and you seek power. That's aishwarya. So boga aishwarya, you know, those things, gatim. Gati is the goal, right? For your goals. You're full of desire for what? Pleasure and power, right? And so for those people full of desire, they are speaking all of these flowery words which lead to, which tell you, which teach you all of these very particular karmas, all of which are leading to one sort or another of pleasure and power. And so let's do this last verse. Bhogaishwarya-prasaktanam Bhogaishwarya-prasaktanam Tayapavrita-cetasam Tayapavrita-cetasam Vyavasayatmika-buddhihi Vyavasayatmika-buddhihi Samadhyavna-vidhiyate Bhoga Aishwarya Prasaktanam Taya Apahrita Chetasam Vyavasaya Atmika Buddhihi Samadhyau Na Vidhiyate. Two genitives on the top line, genitive pearls. For those who are prasakta, boga aishwarya prasakta, prasaktanam, for those who are attached to boga and aishwarya, to pleasure and power, prasakta, and the sakta, asakta means, or prasakta means very attached, right? That's where your vision is. Let me have pleasure, let me have enjoyment, and let me have power, boga aishwarya prasaktanam. For those who are or prasakta, they're devoted to this, pleasure and power. Taya apahrita chetasam. Those people whose minds have been taken away, chetas's minds, chetasam. For the ones whose chetas, whose mind has been apahrita, captured, taken away, overwhelmed, taya by this, by the flowery words, right? By the flowery words of these avipasjits, of these people who are reveling in the first portion of the Vedas, who are saying there is nothing else, they overwhelm you with all of these flowery words. So the one who's, for those people whose minds have been overwhelmed by this, who are attached to pleasure and power, right? Vyavasayatmika buddhi, this buddhi, this understanding, this clear understanding of the mumukshu, Vyavasayatmik means nischaya. This clear understanding, this clear buddhi, samadhyau na vidyate, doesn't take place. Samadhyau, in the mind. Samadhi is the mind. Samadhyau asmin, it means that everything comes into the samadhi, because we think of only samadhi as meaning meditation or the resolution of the mind. But it also just means in the mind, because everything comes into the mind. Everything resolves in the mind. So for those people whose mind has been carried away, has been robbed away by these flowery words, and for those people who went what their devotion is, what their commitment is, what their attachment is to power and money, their minds having been stolen away, you know, by these flowery words, for those people, this nischaya jnanam, this mamukshutvam, won't occur. It doesn't take place. Na vidyate. And it doesn't. It doesn't take place. As long as that attachment is there, your attachment with commitment, because that's why these two compounds are important. There's a commitment to money, to wealth, to pleasure, and power. There's a commitment to that. And there's a belief in that, that that is what will make me happy, right? The mind has been robbed, right, by their belief in their belief that there is nothing else. In their belief that the highest end, for instance, is swarga. In their belief that this is the reality, this is the reality that we have to work in. Right? So with that commitment, then what do you want? What do you want to gain? Happiness. What is happiness for you? Prayas. It's the difference between prayas and shreyas, right? What is happiness going to be for me? Happiness is going to be sense pursuit. Gaining, happiness will be gaining pleasure. Okay? That's prayas, the gain of pleasure. Okay? Shreyas is the absolute good. Shreyas is a happiness that is not pleasure. It's not a happiness that comes and goes. That's shreyas. Prayas is the happiness that's born out of from pursuit. Right? And so what is prayas then? Boga aishwarya. Right? What is the most that I can get from the creation? Swarga loka. That's the most I can get from the creation. So what am I doing as long as I'm here in this loka? I'm trying to get swarga loka here. Until I go to swarga loka, I try to get swarga loka here, which is as much pleasure as I can get, as much happiness as I can get, as much power as I can get. Power means control of my environment, so that I can have things the way that I want them. This is what we mean by power. You know, you should think about it. People want power. What do they want when you say people want power? They want control. They want control of their environment, control over the world, so that I can be happy, so that I can make the world be the way that I want it to be. Because if the world is the way that I want it to be, then I will be happy, right? So I want that control. That's the power. And then when I have that control, then what do I want to do with it? Well, I want to do things that make me happy. I want to have pleasure, right? And so swarga loka, we think of swarga loka really as the heaven world, where when I go to that particular loka, then whatever I think I should, my desire should be being fulfilled for me, you know, so that I don't have to worry about that. I think of it and then I get that situation. Right? But here itself, I'm trying to create a swarga loka. Who isn't trying to create a swarga loka? Right? You're trying to control your situation as much as you possibly can so that you will not have to suffer pain. That's what we do. So a person who is committed to that, bhoga and aishwarya, because they believe that that's all there is, and they still think that it will work. Why do they think it will work? Say if they're within the Vedic tradition, Well, because the first part of the Vedas, that's all they're talking about. That's what they're talking about. But the first part of the Vedas is only the first part of the Vedas. It's not the whole Vedas. The first part of the Vedas is meant for the people who have not understood, right? They haven't understood that there's that bhoga and aishwarya, that this samsara doesn't work. And so until, as long as you think, I want this so that I can be happy, the first part of the Vedas is there. It's to show you how to do that in the most benign way possible. But for the mumukshu who realizes that this is not going to give me what I seek, the second part of the Vedas is there. And so Shankara is simply in his bhasha, and Krishna is pointing that out too. It's all right, the first part of the Vedas, but that's not the whole Vedas. There's the second part of the Vedas too. And so don't say there is nothing else. Don't be one of those a mimamsa, a karma mimamsa, who's committed to the first part of the Vedas, saying ignoring the last part of the Vedas. Don't be a karma mimamsa, saying that the highest end is swarga, and that what is meant for you here is bhoga and aishwarya, is enjoyment, and that that's the highest end for you. Don't believe that. But for those who do believe that, who are still committed in that world, for them this vivasayatmika buddhi is not a possibility. And it's not, because you can't have, there is nothing single-pointed, there is no single-pointed pursuit in the creation. There, in fact, is only one pursuit that's single-pointed, and that is moksha. And the reason that's the only one that's single-pointed is because in the recognition, in order to have that pursuit, you recognize that all other pursuits are erroneous. Because all other pursuits are bound by time. And because they're bound by time, they cannot give the result that I'm seeking. In terms of the ultimate, what is the fundamental problem of my wholeness. So you have to realize that anything bound within time and space is incapable of giving me that result. When you recognize that, then jnanam, knowledge, becomes your pursuit, to know that which is beyond all of that. See what I mean? There's nothing else left. That's how there can be a single pursuit, because there is no other possibility. The universe of possibilities has been negated, and this is all that's left. And so that's where you get the vyavasayatmika buddhi. For somebody who's out here still, that's an impossibility. You see how that is?
Yeah.
It's an impossibility, because there are an infinite number of pursuits. And the mind can't just have one pursuit out here. There's too many variables that have to be handled all of the time. It's not a possibility. So you have to recognize that my ananda, my wholeness, is not going to be achieved in this way. That either, in fact, for the mumukshu, what it comes down to is either I am the ananda, either I am the ananda that I seek, right? And what's stopping me from recognizing that is ignorance, or I'm finished. That's the reality. If I'm not the wholeness that I seek, then I'm a samsari, and there is no solution. That's what a person understands. That's what really what a person has to understand. Either I am what I'm seeking, or I'm a samsari, and there is no solution. And that's viveka in vairagya. It's very profound, because there's no way out of it. If you've understood that, there's no way out. Right? Because what exists within time and space is subject to change. And that ends it right there. The end, right there. That's the end of it. Okay, so let's stop there.
What a great analysis.
Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.